Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 34. We hear just a few of these words from verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. God's word is truth. Amen. There's only 51 miles between the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean in Panama. And in the days of Martin Luther, 500 years ago, Charles V talked about how there should be a land or sea route through there. It would save 7,800 miles on the sea if there were a canal there, if you're going from New York to San Francisco. And in 1914, it was the United States of America that opened a canal through it. It took lots of money and time. It took lots of workers, 75,000 over the years. And at its height, it employed 40,000 people. Disease, dynamite, jungle heat, and humidity, it was all there. And there were lots of problems. And we won't go through any of them but this one. The local workers who worked for an hourly wage, they would only work a few hours a week and not come in anymore. And the company asked, why? You know, was it the conditions? Was it the harsh labor? Was it not enough money? No, none of those. The locals said, we have a nice new roof over our head. Our family is well fed and we are well cared for. What more do we want? And legend says it was at that time they introduced the locals to the Sears catalog, which in 1908 was a 728-page document to answer the question, what more do you want? And that took care of the problem. They took people who were content and filled them with greed. And now they couldn't work enough to fill their houses and lives with things they didn't even know that they needed until a few months ago. We all have it, this monster of greed. And in this society, how can't we? Now, I'm not making excuses for it. I'm saying it's so prevalent. It's hard to remove ourselves from it. It lives within us. And it's so hard to identify it because it's become what we know. I mean, we can't even fill up the gas tank anymore without a commercial telling us what we need. I mean, think about that. How many commercials are we just bombarded with on a daily basis telling us what we need, what we need, what we need? I mean, if you want something, you just pull out your phone, hit the Walmart app or 100 different other ones and purchase it. It will be on your front doorstep by tomorrow. Maybe you'll have to wait 2 days. If you want to watch or listen to anything, you just pull out your phone and watch it for $3.99. It'll go on the credit card. You won't even hear the ding when it comes out of your paycheck. You'd think we'd be a society that doesn't know what it means to be in want, but the more we have, the more we want, because the monster of greed inside just grows bigger when you feed it. And Solomon is a good case study of the soul when it comes to greed and the final conclusion of it. It didn't start out that way, though. Solomon was made king by his father, King David. And after the kingdom is firmly established in his hands, one of the first things Solomon does is offer 1,000 burnt offerings, most likely bulls, to the Lord on Mount Gibeon. And he's giving to the Lord out of thankfulness. He's not giving to get anything in return. He's giving to give. And that is the right motivation. And Solomon is saying with his offering, Lord, I am fully yours, 100% of me. And God appears to Solomon and asks him to name whatever he desires, and God will grant it. Solomon does not think of himself, but he thinks of his duty, this God-given responsibility to lead God's people. And he asks for a discerning heart to govern God's people and to distinguish between right and wrong. He is focused on giving glory to God and helping the people that God put in his life. It is incredible. It's certainly incredible. And years go by. And now Solomon didn't have a smartphone, but if he wanted anything money, power, or fame, or kingship could buy or could not buy, it would be at his front doorstep by morning. And after a few years of this, we get our first lesson for today from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Notice how his focus changed. Now look at that first lesson. God isn't even in the picture, not even once, and greed does that to a person. Greed pulls you away from the source of all good things. You seek to fulfill the desires of your soul with the things of this world instead of the only thing that can fulfill the desire of your soul, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord of Lords. And the monster of greed leads you away from caring for others. And when you look at that first lesson, Solomon speaks of himself and his pleasure as the center of purpose and how he ought to be the center of everyone else's life and purpose as well. Everyone in the world was to serve him and his needs and his desires. It's greed all grown up. What is at the end of a life of greed? Let Solomon speak. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. He has been farther down that road than you and me will ever be. And in his God-given wisdom, he says, it's meaningless. The man in our text today. He is blessed by God with wealth. And in the state of blessedness, the man never mentions God, not once. The man never mentions anyone else, but only addresses his own desires. Do you see the pattern? Jesus does. He says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And I don't know if contentment can be gained. Are we too far from it? You know, I don't know if greed is too interwoven into our souls to get it out. It's a drastic mindset, attitude, and soul shift that needs to take place. It engages your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and moved by the Holy Spirit working upon our very lives, may we be led to see, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And then let us be led to repentance. The sin has to go. We plead to him, Lord, we confess that we give into greed too often. A spirit of selfishness lives within, and it must be dealt with. And Lord, remove our sins, remove the idol of greed and selfishness from our souls. And in Christ and in his selfless sacrifice, our sin is removed. His righteousness is given. Stop focusing on what you do not have. Focus on what God has given you. Forgiveness of sins is yours. The righteousness of Christ is yours. The love of God is yours. The kingdom of God is yours. Heaven is yours. Eternity in the presence of Christ is yours. And life is short. Where are you going when it's all done? What does eternity have in store for you? How rarely those thoughts enter our minds. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your heart dwell on such things as heaven and all that is yours in Christ Jesus. Make him your treasure. Be mindful of what you leave behind. And as you battle greed, teach the next generation how to do it because nobody else will. Have the heart of Solomon on Mount Gibeon. Don't give to get. I mean, that's a trade. That's a job. You know, at best, at worst, it's manipulation. But give to give. Just because you have a heart to give, that's generosity. And teach it because it's so foreign to the landscape of worldly thought. What God has given me, it's not to serve myself, but to serve him. What God has given me is not to serve myself, but others. And those two fuse together when you show the greatest gift, the gospel, for the salvation of souls. Now, don't begrudge yourself an entertainment budget. God wants you to enjoy his gifts, but it must be in proportion to all else. As Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's an attitude and mindset shift. God first, others second, then comes me. The monster of greed looms large in the world. It looms large in our hearts. Only in Christ can we combat this monster within. Only in Christ are we victorious. Amen. And now may the grace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.